हरिः नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Perkin Mars expresses his desire to know in full detail how the contaminations of the mind may be gotten rid of. Replying, Srila Sukadeva Goswami outlines the practices of Astanga Yoga. He says that the yogi should gain control over the mind by intelligence. In this way, he should apply the mind to the gross potencies displayed by the Virat Rup, universal form. In that manifestation, absolute time, past, present, future, is experienced. The Virat Rup manifestation of the Lord is simultaneously a challenge to the atheists and a favor for the Asuras, who can think of the Lord as Virat and thus gradually cleanse the dirty things from the hearts in order to become qualified to actually see the transcendental form of the Lord in the near future. So basically speaking, we're dealing with both at once, right? Because you're dealing with the divine and the demoniac aspect, right? So you have the devotional, direct devotional activities, but then there's also the aspects of our own life that are not exactly devotionally inclined. So then those then one can use as Sukadeva Goswami is pointing out here, the universal form. So those aspects that attract us, where the values are that aren't Krishna conscious, that one can connect. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But for us, the prominence is the direct aspect. Because here, this becomes a challenge for the atheist, because they're not used to the Lord having form at all, right? But it is a favor for the Asuras, because then those things that are not Krishna, in their minds, they can connect to Krishna, mm-hmm. right? So they get benefited.
Yes.
But, so for these personalities, it becomes the prominent process. But for the devotee, it's a secondary process, because our direct process is chanting the holy name, serving the Vaishnavas, hearing Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, living in the Dham. Right.
Yes.
So do we have to connect to the Virat Rup, or can we connect it to Krishna?
You connect it to Krishna, but we're going to be starting. See, what you're doing is you're starting with something you don't see in connection to Krishna. So then one takes that, connects it to the Virat Rup, then from there connects it back to, you know, and that's the stages. See, for the Asuras, they'll just connect to the Virat Rup and stop there, and then slowly, slowly, by that, they get used to the concept that the Lord has form, or the atheist gets used to the Lord has form. Then he's able to switch it from that mundane element into the Krishna conscious. But for us, there already is the prominent Krishna conscious aspect, so all we're doing is trying to catch those things that distract us. Right, so that may be very minimal, maybe not. The point is how do you catch the contaminations of the mind? So the main point is the direct aspects of devotional service, that will clear. But for those that are more stubborn, then you can directly deal with them by connecting those to the universal form. Does that make sense? So in other words, you're using both processes at once. Right, so always remember Krishna as the most direct, but never forget him as the secondary. Right, so you just from the back you catch. Right, does that make sense? So that's what's taking the mind away. So if you catch that and bring that towards Krishna, yes, then you have the direct that's going towards Krishna, and then the indirect that is also now going towards Krishna. Otherwise, then we have one going towards Krishna, some things are going away, and that creates a problem. So this way is what takes you away. You just turn it around and direct it towards Krishna. So then everything's going the right this right way, but not necessarily at the same speed. Right? So that's why those that are moving quicker is where the prominence is put. Because you're getting more from the chanting, the hearing, the association. Is that okay?
So Maharaj, yes. Means always staying connected with one of the three levels of Brahman, Paramatma, Balarama.
Yes,
always.
Yes. The idea is if you're always connected, you'll always get benefit.
Yes.
So, but of that, then we're trying to be always connected with Krishna, yes. With Bhagavan. You know, it's just like, one may say, no, but why these levels? It's just like, why the levels of there's Vaikuntha, then there's, yes, Goloka, yes, which is also an aspect of Vaikuntha, then there's Braj.
Yes.
Right, so there's always, and then in Braj, then you have all the pastimes there, then there's the gopis, and then of the gopis, then there's Radharani. So that's what the, you know, the Bhagavatam is teaching, is to be able to discern within transcendence, right? Discern what's the difference between material and transcendence. That's important, just so that you're always absorbed in transcendence. Then once you're dealing with transcendence, then how to get from within transcendence, what are the highest aspects?
Yes.
Therefore, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita and Laghu Bhagavatamrita are showing these. What's the highest realm, right? Braj. What's the highest aspect within that? The relationship between Radha and Krishna. Right. So if one appreciates that, then the whole process works very, very quickly.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Can we say, why would Shukadeva Goswami bring up those points now? If in the beginning it was already mentioned that anything else except pure devotional service is kicked out from Bhagavatam.
Because this is in pursuit of that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? In other words, dealing with the yoga process without the intention of pure devotion, that's all kicked out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So these ideas that Sakam Karma Yoga, that's kicked out. So only Nishkam is just accepted. So this is just accepted. It's just accepted that it's just on the edge, it's useful. You know? But it's not that useful. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it means, in other words, it has limited use, because the point is the Virat Rup is coming from Garbhodaksha Vishnu, who's Prajumna. So therefore, why are the things of the universal form attractive? Because they come from Prajumna. Right? Everything in this world is an expansion of Garbhodaksha Vishnu. That's why it's attractive. Because, right? Prajumna means Cupid. So everything's attractive because of him. So that's why it's attractive. It's not attractive because this particular combination of dead matter is just so fabulous. Does that make sense? Because
yes.
Even the combination of dead matter, that's defined by the Virat Rup.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Something looks very nice and attractive. It's because it's following the dictations given by the Virat Rup. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, if I put a buttress, it's coming down off the balcony, it goes in through the window. It'll look strange. You know, buttress?
What's a buttress?
Like in Vrindavan, you have do we relate to sunshades?
Yes.
Okay. Not like Dolce and those kind of things. I mean the ones off the building, right? Okay. Now, underneath those, do you notice those funny little curved stone things? That's a buttress.
Okay.
Right? In this case. So, those, now, if they're going against something solid, then you feel, yes, this is doing something. But if it went in through a window, you think that's a little strange.
Yes.
Right? You understand? Yes. So, who defines that? Right? So that's the thing. The Virat Rup already defines architecture. It already defines beauty. It already defines, you know, the engineering things, you know, the practical. All these things are already defined in the Virat Rup. Then something's considered good or not, how close it comes to that. Right? So this idea, we don't have to worry about goodness. Goodness means what comes the closest. Right? Because only when that's dealt with in connection to the Lord does it become transcendental.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the best. So those who profess that something other than that is fine, means this is someone who's professing that second rate, third rate, tenth rate is great.
Yes.
But it doesn't work like that. The idea is if it's for Krishna, then it should be first class. If it's for us, hey, if we're tenth rate, then tenth rate is great. You know? Ninth rate is a step up, you know, and 11th rate is, you know, a little below standard. Yeah, it happens. It happens. Even 12th standard rate, it happens.
It all happens.
Yeah. You understand? So the idea is that you bring it as close as possible. So that's what we're trying to do. So the idea is that it's already established by the universal form. All it is that people, by the modes of nature, according to the time, place, and circumstance, then they're inspired by the modes to come up with something that's closer to the standard.
Yes.
And because of that, then people think, oh, this is nice.
Yes.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just like, let's say, okay, you got the guy with the pants about to fall off, and he's got the chain.
Yes.
Okay? Now, if that chain was like rusty and stuff, would it be okay?
No.
What about if it was made out of wood? You know, plastic? What about fluorescent green plastic?
Maybe in Düsseldorf, in Deutschland.
Okay.
But other than that.
No. Okay. You understand? So then it's not that it's a chain. We say it's the chain is in fashion. No, the shininess is in fashion. You understand?
Yeah.
But you don't catch. So it's just one way of doing shininess. You know, you put it on bangles, you put it around your neck. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You could put, you know, do all these different things with it, but it's shiny.
Yes.
But that's not what's caught. So that's the point, because things that are bright, shiny, clean, those are attractive. So that's what is attractive. So that's closer to the standard. That is being manifest through a chain on a pair of pants are about to fall off, and then the chain doesn't add to that, it also helps them fall off. So, right? You know, you understand, that's why the legs are so tight, because otherwise they would fall off.
Okay.
You don't see guys with baggy pants and the chain, right? Because otherwise they will fall off.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. You know, fashion.
Yeah, it needs to go together. Because I couldn't figure out why they make it so tight.
Yeah.
And then it takes 10 minutes to put on, you know.
It's a thing, yeah.
Yeah. Well, suspenders, those are good, you know, like that. You know, put something to play with if you don't know what to do with your hands, you know, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we say that the Vedas actually deal with universal form as such?
They deal, it means the opera of Vidya is dealing with the manifestations of the universal form. Because, in other words, the primary creation, or what we were talking about, is Vairaja. Then you have the manifestation of that in Brahma's creation. But it's already created. That's why it said there's two Brahmas. So the first Brahma, it's already created, but you can't see it. Then Brahma makes it so you can see it. That's the difference. So that element of the Lord creating everything, because that's what Purusha Shukta talks about, how everything in the universe is created. You know, all the different forms, the shapes, the species, the situations, you know, the mountains, the valleys, the flatlands, everything, the hills, the rivers, everything like this is already created. Right? Then Brahma, taking that as the blueprint, because that's what he can see, then he makes it visible by manifesting it through the elements, because before that it wasn't manifest in the elements. Like that, it's actually just concept. It's a conceptual thing that's done before. So it's part of the Virat Rup. That's the part. It's the Lord. So it's the Lord in the material form. So that's where the connection is. The forms are the material side, but what are they? The forms of, that's the Lord. That's the spiritual side. That's where the bridge is. You know what I'm saying? In other words, there's a concept of a column that's spiritual. That's manifest here as the material. So I can think of that, think that that's the potency of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Then I can go back to the Lord.
Yes.
So that's why it said that it's a mercy, because then we can, from that mundane vision, we can get back to the Lord. Right? But it's only necessary in areas where we don't naturally connect it to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make
yes.
sense? Because if you're already doing that, this is not necessary. This is a tool if things don't so much work. Does that make sense? It means if things are working nicely, generally you don't need a crowbar.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. But if it's not, crowbars are great.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, if the board's been, the 2x4 has been put in the wrong place, right? 2x4. Two would be the 5 centimeter by 8 centimeter
yes.
piece of wood. No, that makes sense?
I know, actually. Okay, you know 2x4.
Just to make sure. So then that's in the wrong place. So how do you move it? You know, you have to use a hammer, you have to use the crowbar, you have to use these things, but that's not the that wouldn't be your first option. The first option would just be to put it properly. Right? But if it doesn't happen, then this is there. So the first point is chant Hare Krishna, remember Krishna, forget the material, you know, endeavor. But if that doesn't, then, you know, here's the crowbar.
Yes.
Okay. Does that make sense? So that's why it's there. It's explained because it's not that where it'll be applied for any individual be in the same place. That's the point of the universality of the Vedic wisdom. Anybody, anywhere can apply it because everybody's got a different problem. Does that make sense? Like I remember one devotee was telling me about his arrangement of speakers.
Okay.
And he was talking about he had these special speakers and then they took them and they connected and something bolted that to the floor so there was no vibration. Because when there's movement, you lose sound. Because if the box moves, that means the papers and stuff inside aren't moving. So they got this perfect arrangement, and he said when they did all that, and then, you know, you soundproof the walls and that, then they turn on the music, and then it's just tears come to his eyes because it's just such ecstasy. Like that. So most people don't have that as a maya that they got to worry about. Right? So, you know, this is where he has to apply the crowbars, right? Because Krishna's sound, so therefore it's not about all that. It's just, if you think that sounds good, then what do you think is going to be the sound of Krishna's flute or his voice or...
Yeah.
You understand? So that's the point. So everybody has a different area or detail within an area where there's these distractions. So if what goes away just by the direct process, then you don't worry about it. It's the ones that don't go away. Those are the ones then you use this process. Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. In other words, Srila Sukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Prakrit about the necessity of seeing matter in relation to Krishna. Because if you don't, then if matter is not in relation to Krishna, what is it in relation to? Ourself, because that's the field of activities.
Yes.
Right? What the body is in contact with, in other words, what you can perceive, that's the field of activity. And if you don't see it in connection to Krishna, it's automatically in connection with yourself. And how did you perceive it? Through the senses. Right? And so what does that mean? Sense gratification. So if you don't see it in relation to Krishna, that's the point you want to get to. So if you can do that directly through the philosophy, you don't need to use these. But if you don't, then you have to take it through because we're seeing it separate. So this will catch it. Right? He offers a, quote, discipline in impersonality. See Bhagavatam 2.1.18 purport. So that materialists and atheists can view matter as inseparable from the Lord. We can say, but we're devotees, but do we view any matter as separate from the Lord?
Yes.
Right? So either it's materialistic, we didn't think about the Lord at all, so it's not a problem that he's involved. Okay, it's God's matter, and you know, and it's put here for us to enjoy, right? I mean, that's basically what, you know, most world religions think, how it works. God made the place for us to be happy and enjoy ourselves, right? Rather than, okay. So, but an atheistic means you don't see a connection. Oh, that can't be connected to Krishna.
Yeah.
You understand? So this is for dealing with those aspects of the mentality. They're side aspects. They're not major aspects. Still, they're stumbling blocks.
Maharaj?
Yes.
The more that we connect it to Krishna, the better, isn't it? Like, at every level.
Yes.
Because I notice some people, they do, or devotees, or even I do it, go about their thing, their duties, or their life stuff. And they, if you ask them how is this connected to Krishna, then they and they come up with something.
Okay.
But you can see that they haven't actually connected it.
Yes, but if you connect it, it means you see a connection to Krishna, then it will go better. If not, it means your main thing is you're doing it to please Krishna.
Yeah.
But then it's also good if you can say why you're doing that thing. Why would that please Krishna?
Yeah.
Right? Because just let's say we're washing the pots, right, in the kitchen after the Sunday program or something. So now if we're washing the pots to please Krishna, we understand that, then that's good, rather than just we're washing pots and it's at the temple and the temple's connected to Krishna.
Yeah.
So therefore it's like that. So it's still, it got back to Krishna.
Yeah.
But if we're doing it to please Krishna, it's more direct.
Yeah.
But then if we're doing it to please Krishna,
yeah,
what's the superior quality of Krishna that we're looking at here?
Cleanliness?
Yes, cleanliness. So then that would mean when you finish washing the pot, it's clean. That means when you finish washing the pots, the sink is clean. The area around the sink is clean. Ideally, you're clean. You understand?
Yeah.
But some will just be, well, I was just supposed to wash the pots and that's it. No one said anything about the sink. But the point is that means we're only seeing that part connected to Krishna. We don't see the sink connected. It's Krishna's sink also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? The water is just running the whole time. You don't need to have it running the whole time, but it's Krishna's water.
Yeah.
Right, it's his energy, so his energy should be used in the service. So just going down the drain, how is that service? It has to be doing something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So all these connect in, and then one can be Krishna conscious and become perfectly self-realized just washing pots.
Yeah. So this seems to me what you're saying is more of a matter of just general consciousness. Like if you're generally conscious.
Yeah, no, it's general conscious. Because if you're not conscious, you can't be Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? And if we say devotional service, but if you're not doing service, how can it be devotion?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So does that mean that people who would not become conscious don't have a chance of doing pure devotional conscious?
Everybody's conscious, it's just what they're conscious of. Just like in this is what's going to come out, and we're going to be able to see more and more. Everybody is God conscious. Every living entity, just they don't know what's God.
Okay.
That's all. Because the soul can't be conscious of anything else other than God. Right? You know, soul being conscious is going to be, it's going to be aware of that which is conscious, not of what's not conscious. So the reason we notice matter is because of the conscious element within it, which is the Lord is Brahman. Right? So as the modes of nature bring out different things, we see that potency come up in different things, so everyone is attracted by that. And in another time, the same thing that everyone thought was like the perfection, you know, it's just so, you know, last week. You know, so this is the difficulty, is that the modes just move it around where the attractive element comes, where people are God conscious. But they're not conscious that what they're conscious of is God. So they don't, there's no relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, just like, let's say, the son is out on his own. Like that. And the father's wealthy, he's influential, powerful. Like that. So he has his men watching. Right? And even though the son doesn't want to have anything to do with the father, he's still making arrangements for that. So the son may catch some of those things. He'll, you know, so many of them he'll miss, but he'll catch some of them and think it's just his good luck. But he doesn't know that it was the arrangement of the father. So therefore, it doesn't enhance the relationship. From the father's side, he's happy. But it doesn't enhance the relationship with the son with the father.
Yeah.
So therefore, we don't call that God consciousness, even though that's all he's conscious of. He's only conscious of the arrangements that the father's making.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. But the point is the jiva can only be conscious of spirit.
Yeah.
It's not aware of matter. Because if anything you notice in matter, there's a quality, a superior quality in it that attracts your attention. So it's Krishna's qualities that are in that particular item that you notice. Right? And whatever the range of your value of qualities, if you don't see it in something, it doesn't mean anything. You know, like let's say adolescents, you know, other than certain qualities that they might find in a video game, they look around, they don't see anything. So the whole world is boring. Right? You know what I'm saying? You get out a chainsaw and start chasing people down the road. How many people's heads are you in reality going to be able to cut off?
Not many.
Probably not hardly anybody. But in the video game, you can cut everybody's head off with a chainsaw. You know, somehow or another they can't. How do they not move? Chainsaw's heavy. To run with that and then you have to catch the... I mean, it's like, how does this work? You know what I'm saying? You know, so it's like that. You know, it's just... So that's what's exciting. They like that, you know, this some her, the aspect of that. But they don't see it in regular life, so they're not interested.
But that's the Russell fear, isn't it?
Whatever it is, but I'm saying is you only view what's your value. And if you don't view it, you don't see anything. So what I'm saying, it's not matter that you're noticing. It's Krishna's potency in the matter that's being noticed. So that's my point. Everybody's God conscious, but they don't know that that's what they're conscious of. Therefore, that's what the illusion is. Maya is that which is not. You think, oh, it's the video game that's exciting. No, there's some qualities there that you're... You understand? Yeah. Oh, okay. He offers a discipline in impersonality so that impersonalists and atheists can view matter as inseparable from the Lord. Right? That's what you're trying to get to. It's not separable. By practicing yoga and controlling the mind through pranayama, one can meditate upon the Lord's gross material potencies as his virat rup, or universal form. In this way, a materialistic person can remember the Lord as he observes planets, days, nights, the objects of the senses, animals, varnashram, death, etc., and their passage through time. One should take care, however, that this conception of the universal form is derived from shastra instead of so-called common sense. Right? Otherwise, then you get into anthropomorphism. Then it becomes bogus. Right? I mean, in other words, there's ways in which Krishna enters everything, not just the way you would like to put it together. Okay. Instead of so-called common sense, which understands the features of nature to be soulless, mechanistic components of adharmic sense gratification, Shastra guides us to a life of harmony with the Lord's cosmic feature. Purport. The Manu Samhita is the standard law book for humanity, and every human being is advised to follow this great book of social knowledge. Yeah. Human society is the residential quarters for the Lord. This means that the human being is meant for God realization and association with God. This life is a chance for the conditioned soul to regain his eternal God consciousness and thus fulfill the mission of life. Maharaj Pallad is the right type of representative of the Lord in the family of Asuras. None of the living entities is away from the Lord's gigantic body. Each and every one has a particular duty in relation to the Supreme Body. Bhagavatam 2.136 purport. So that means everyone. Everyone has their place. So if we take that place and connect that to the Lord, then we're in harmony with the Lord. If we just do our own thing, then how are we in harmony? You know what I'm saying? People talk about, let's live together harmoniously and everyone work together, but then everybody's supposed to be able to do exactly what they want. How does that work? I mean, if you think about it logically, it's an impossibility. Right? But that is a mystic mentality. You know, how does that work? You know, the name of the ism means that the businessmen have all the money. So if we kill all the businessmen, then the people will have the money. Okay, and then when they spent that money, then what? Yeah. Where will you get the new money? Right? Because the businessmen are dead. Right? Therefore, after 70 years of, you know, this and that, they probably figured it out a long time before. But, you know, finally after 70 years, there's no money, then you have to make some adjustments.
The whole thing collapses.
Yeah, the whole thing collapses. So you see, next door, they're a little smarter. They just introduced Western economics. Right? You know, so they kept their political position, but they had to use, they could not get rid of the businessmen. Mm-hmm. Right? Otherwise, you know, you have this little dinky country, you know, where all the businessmen went, making tons of money, and then this big monster mainland country that's making no money. Right? Why? Because the point is, the Vaishyas make money. Right? Now the point is it has to be controlled. That's the problem. Not take the money away from them. Do you understand? So it's that's the problem with isms, that it sounds so glorious and all comprehensive and everybody's working together and it's going to be fabulous, but it's very narrowly focused on certain people and that's it. Only certain people benefit.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Sukadeva next describes the meditation on the Virat Rupa. Also, just notice here, it probably makes these statements very clear. Mano is the standard book of mankind for humanity. If you want to be subhuman, don't worry about Mano. That's the point. But if you want to claim to be human, then Mano is standard law, but not just esoteric, out of the way, you know, archaic. No, he didn't use any of those words. And every human being, not just some of them, is advised to follow this great book of social knowledge. Right?
Yes.
Social knowledge, not of social rules to, you know, cut off fingers and toes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Does that make sense? Because we went through, you know, like how many verses we were cutting off fingers and toes? Oh, you still have, okay. You did okay. Got through the whole book? Still have your fingers, right? Yes. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's a social science. People see certain laws, and that's it. So that means they're not seeing the science, so they're not the ones to look at it. It's not that it doesn't follow it, but leadership is supposed to follow it. So this has to be put in, okay, so how does it apply? Then in Gita we say the leaders should understand this and apply it, right? And then the natural, then everybody else can follow it. Sukadeva next describes the meditation on the Virat Rupa in detail. In language reminiscent of the Purusha Shukta hymn of the Rig Veda, he instructs Maharaj Parikit that the 14 planetary systems are situated upon the form of the Lord from his lotus feet to his head. He says that one who seriously desires liberation should concentrate his mind on the Virat form of the Lord because nothing more than this exists within the material world. That's all there is. What you're dealing with is the Virat Rupa. You're not dealing with something else. Right? Brahma's creation is only manifesting it so we can work with it, right? Because us as the soul, then floating around, and this, you know, primary creation, you know, being there as a concept, it's not a lot's going to happen. Right? So there has to be practical interaction. Therefore, Brahma manifests that we interact with it, but that's all we're interacting with. Right? This idea is that material world is something separate. The Western world is something separate. No, it's just part of the Virat Rupa. The Shastras talk about the Western culture. It's not that it's a new thing, it's something special. They, thousands of years ago they were talking, there are things in scriptures that is talking about thousands, that are written thousands of years ago, and it's talking about things that will happen 1,000 years in the future. And it gives names. I mean names down to names we know. Right? Shastra talks about, you know, how you say, Akbar and Birbal, and they use the names. Yeah. And these are spoken before the Bhagavatam was spoken, because Bhagavatam was the last one spoken.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we're talking 5,000 years ago, and they're talking about these dudes. Why? Because these dudes are always there. There's always an Akbar, there's always a Birbal.
Yes.
You know? You know, maybe they changed the name. The name's been changed to protect the emphasis, right? You know, so the Akbar, it's, you know, I say, you know, Z-bar or something.
Yeah.
Okay. He says that one is, okay. One who seriously desires liberation should concentrate his mind on the Virat form of the Lord because nothing more than this exists within the material world. The original transcendental and eternal form of the Lord is Sri Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead. By his inconceivable internal potency, he can expand himself by multifarious forms and incarnations simultaneously without being diminished in his full potency. Because he's everything anyway. So it's not that, you know what I'm saying? So it's just a manifestation of already what's already there. It's not that he has to sit there and, you know, clench his fists and then, yeah, I can't hold it anymore, like that, you know, the planet. You know, that doesn't happen. you know, like that. Yeah. He is complete, and although innumerable complete forms emanate from him, still he is still complete without any loss, because all it is the manifestation of what's already there. You know, just like the cook, you know, he has that potency to cook a particular preparation, but cooking the preparation, it's complete in the self, and he's still the same person. It's not that, you know, every time he cooks it, you know, one part of his life is put into that, and, you know, he can only cook it 10 times, and then he'll just disappear. Right? You know, you come in and just find his, you know, cook hat sitting on the ground. What happened? That was the 10th time. You know? I should have known. I would have saved it for a better, you know, when my relatives came. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, he is still complete without any loss. That is his spiritual or internal potency. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10:42, with a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So he needs a fragment to even run it, because it's him. So there's this understanding in physics that energy is never lost, it only transforms, because it's just him. Mm-hmm. So he is eternally existing, always expanding, so it never gets lost.
Yes.
Right? There's no such thing as it going away. It, you know, it's lost for us because we're not the Shakti Ma.
Yes.
Right? So sometimes we have it and sometimes we don't. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, it's more don't than have, right? Like that. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to 2:26, the conception of the universal form of the Lord gives a chance to the materialist to think of the Supreme Lord. But the materialist must know for certain that this visualization of the Lord in a spirit of lording it over is not God realization, right? In other words, if you use the metaphysics of the universe for your own sense gratification, it's still not God conscious. That's why you have to be very careful. Because sometimes devotees get into the Shastra and that and the technical points of the Shastra and then get very distracted. Right? Like that. So it's like you end up in the same basic materialistic position. Right? So it's just a matter of where you started from. You start from the Vedic but don't see a connection to Krishna. It's just nice Maya. It's pious Maya. You see, and you know, you start with things that aren't connected to Krishna, it's very distant, then it may be less pious Maya. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's the difficulty. The materialistic view of exploitation of the material resources is occasioned by the illusion of the external energy of the Lord. And as such, if anyone wants to realize the supreme truth by conceiving of the universal form of the Lord, he must cultivate the service attitude. Unless the service attitude is revived, the conception of Virat realization will have very little effect on the seer. Right? So now, we see here, if the service attitude is there, it will have a great effect. In other words, devotees are seeing it. So the atheists, they're given a chance, but there's the point is they may be making this mistake. But for the devotee, he should be very careful to never make this mistake. Right? Because why would we use this method? Because there's an aspect of the Lord's creation we are trying to engage as sense gratification. So we shouldn't take the Shastra as better ways to get sense gratification. It should be better ways to see the Lord. Right? So that's service attitude. That's why that's so important. Yes.
And the opposite is exploitation. The opposite is exploitation, to exploit.
If you're...
No, the opposite of service attitude is to exploit.
The opposite. Oh, yes. Means you're either going to serve the Lord by engaging His energy in His service, or you're going to exploit His energy and use it in your service.
Yes.
So it's either going towards the Lord or towards yourself. These are the two ends,
yes.
Right?
Only two.
So, yeah, there's only two, right? Because somebody's got to be the center of everything. So it's either got to be God or us, right? It's not going to be the next guy, right? He's part of our seat. I can see him, he's part of my seat. But he can see you, so that means you're part of your seat. Says, no, we just never think like that,
yeah.
Right? So, yeah. In Krishna Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami explains what the Srimad Bhagavatam means by the word kalpana, imaginary, in reference to the universal form, because it's said to be imaginary. Right? So there's this term is used. Right? So we have to be very careful what it means. To describe how the second Purusha incarnation, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the aspect of Lord Prajumna, arranges the activities of the secondary phase of creation within each universe, Sutta Goswami speaks the next 1.5 verses, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.2.3. A part of the Purusha lies down within the water of the universe, engaged in Yoga Nidra. From the navel lake of his body sprouts a lotus stem, and from the lotus flower atop this stem, Brahma, the master of all engineers in the universe, becomes manifest. It is believed that all the universal planetary systems are situated on the extensive body of the Purusha. This verse describes how the second Purusha incarnation, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, enters the universes and lies down, Shayanasya, on the Garbhodak ocean, Ambhasi. In these verses, the words Shayanasya, resting, and Avayava Samstanaihi, situated on the limbs of the transcendental form, show that the transcendental feet and other limbs of the Lord were spread throughout the material universe. Because of this entrance of the Lord into the universe, it is sometimes considered that the entire universe is the body of the Lord, Virat Rup. The entrance of the transcendental Lord within the material universe is the cause of the universe's taking shape as if it were his own form. The resultant Virat Rup, universal form of the Lord, is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.26. Persons who have realized it have studied that the planets known as Patala constitute the bottoms of the feet of the universal Lord, and the heels and the toes are the Rasatala planets. The ankles are the Mahatala, and his shank constitute the Talatala planets. Neophyte devotees can gradually fix their minds on the Lord's original form after practicing meditation upon the Virat Rup. The universal form is not actually real, it is only an imagination. Because you're just connecting the two. Because
yes.
It said this part you can connect to here, because that's where the potency comes from. But we're looking at the external form and then connecting that to the Lord, but it's actually his potency that's connected.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Next, Srila Jiva Goswami presents another way of understanding the kalpana factor. The universal form may also be understood in the following way. Because the different varieties of the material manifestation emanated from the different limbs of the Lord's form, the universal form may be considered a form of the Lord. Right? So that potency, the demigods come from his arms, everything like that. So that way then it's there. Right? So one is you're just connecting things that you're not looking so much at potencies, you're just looking at forms that connect you to the Lord. The other is you're looking at the energies and connecting to the Lord. Right? In Srila Jiva Goswami's first explanation, the universe is presented as an aspect or part of Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. To take the aspect or part to be the Lord himself is to conceive of the universe as the supreme being by imagination. In his purport, the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.21, Srila Prabhupada calls this method indirect, right? Because direct is what is directly the Lord, the name, form, qualities, pastimes, right? One who practices this indirect method may be able to generate from his mind an image that he thinks is the deity. Such imagery is pantheistic speculation. It is artificially constructed from a poor fund of knowledge. For example, how can a pantheist, adhering as he does to a doctrine that demands he accept anything and everything as the absolute, grasp the factual difference between matter and spirit? Right.
Yes.
His mind is too busy trying to convert all that he perceives through his imperfect senses into divinity. Right? Because he's trying to take the forms that he sees.
Yes.
Rather than these are you could say the reflected forms of the original reality. Right. Yes. So in other words, the original reality is in the internal potency, but that's reflected into the external potency as the forms we see here.
Yes.
Right, so he's trying. So he can't distinguish between the two. That's the weakness in the pantheism.
Yes.
So that's why one has to be able to bring it over to the Lord. So that connection to the Lord, that's what's of value when one gets purified.
Mm-hmm.
That slowly one will be able to appreciate the Lord, and then directly one can deal with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right? Because we're mentioning here that for the atheists and the materialists, they don't have a conception of the Lord. Yes. Ask any materialist, what does God look like? They don't have something. You ask a religious, what does he look like? They don't have anything.
Yes.
So that's the difficulty.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
It's like imagination.
It's imagination, yes. Because they're not understanding what is the connection. Right? In other words, it is him, but it's different from him. So they'll take it as it is him, so it's directly him. So it's there's no difference between, you know, Krishna Chandra and the tree over there. That's the problem. They can't make that distinction. So they just see it's all the Lord. So they can't actually get to that Bhagavan platform properly. Right?
Baba Ram Das, years ago I went to a San Jose Convention Center to hear him speak. And all these yuppies, these wealthy former hippies were there. Anyway, at some point he's telling this story about hitchhiking. No, what is he doing? He's driving too slow on the Jersey Turnpike. And he got pulled over by the state trooper. So the state trooper comes up to the door. And he's with a straight face, this guy says, he was just kind of love-bombed a cop, and he was like seeing Krishna in drag. I mean, it was just bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just something like, you know, you just said that they're they've just completely messed up.
Yeah. Well, that's why he says you can't speculate. You have to apply this process the way Shastra says. Otherwise, the mind will come up unlimited, strange
right.
ways.
Right.
And not necessarily wonderful. Yes, so they
have all kinds of weird ideas.
Yeah, and that's that means there's unlimited weird ideas, and then there's Sukadeva Goswami. Yeah, like that's the point. Jiva Goswami's second explanation is that the universe comes from no one less than the Lord Himself. To constantly remember Krishna as the source of everything that be is to always be in devotional touch with Him. This is understood from Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Why is the first sense of the kalpana indirect and the second direct? It all comes down to the one word, love. Srila Prabhupada states in the Path of Perfection, chapter 6. If you love your child and your child is away, you think of him when you see his shoes. You think, oh, this is my dear child's shoes. And this is the difference between how the devotee is using the universal form and the materialist. Because the materialist is still trying to adjust with the concept that God has a form.
Yes.
While the devotee, it's you understand this, it comes to Krishna, and once there, then one thinks of Krishna directly.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's the difference. So the devotee is using it is progressive. So that's why one has to be very careful. The first one, you can't use that as a philosophy and then say, we're fine as we are here in the material world. Right, what we're doing is fine. You can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So yeah, you have to be very, very careful of that. So, because here it will remind you of Krishna, and then you deal with Krishna as Krishna.
Thanks.
It is not that you love the shoe, but the child. The shoe, however, evokes that love. So it's Udipan, because the point is Krishna. So anything connected to Krishna reminds you of Krishna. Similarly, as soon as we see Krishna's energy manifested in a living entity, we love that entity because we love Krishna.
Mm.
Therefore, if we love Krishna, universal love is accounted for. Right? Mm. So it goes that way. That have universal love without Krishna, it's not possible. Because the universal love, they love everybody and this and that, but they don't like the corporate capitalist. So what happened to the universal love?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maharaj,
yeah.
It says there when Krishna is manifested in that person or that form, whatever it says.
Talking about the shoe.
No, but after the shoe.
After the shoe. He just mentioned general energy manifested in a living entity.
Yeah.
Krishna's energy. But you have to see what is Krishna's energy.
Yeah, but does that mean that he loves
those who Krishna is manifested more in more?
No, because he's manifest in everybody. It's just a matter of seeing it. Because everybody is Krishna's energy in the way of the soul. Then there's qualities of Krishna that are manifested there. So that reminds us of Krishna. That's why Rupa Goswami gives the 64 qualities of Krishna. Because those are the qualities we're going to see in people. Right, 50 of them.
Because
okay.
I was thinking that he meant in people who it's more uncovered.
That's another thing. It's easier to see, but the point is that affection, because that aspect of Krishna is there in them. That's why it's there. Then you can have affection for everybody. You understand? But this affection for nobody, or affection just for specific persons, then that means it's not so well understood or applied. Right? So that's why it said one is equal to everyone. Means everyone one deals with properly because one sees everyone in connection to Krishna. Right? Because you can deal with one equally, but you how do you say, what was it, that one? There was one Indian editorialist. His column was called something like "With Avarice for One and All."
Avarice
means is, you know, like feeling bad towards everybody. I feel bad towards. I criticize everyone equally. I find fault in everyone.
Yeah.
You know, it was said tongue in cheek because he would goof on everybody and everything, including himself, which is very rare for an Indian.
Yeah.
He's known as the only Indian who's ever done that.
That's how you get the call.
Yeah, so he had to call. Because no one else, that's the one quality. Indians don't goof on themselves. Like that. It's just, it doesn't happen, right? So this guy would.
So on a certain level, we can say this is the vision of Uttam Adhikari.
Yes.
And you see everybody's equal.
Yes.
Although it might manifest, in any devotee.
Yes. It means you might see to some degree. The point is, it's not that someone doesn't see to some degree that, but generally one will start to see only in the areas of value. But with time, it expands beyond the areas of value.
And then it becomes a general issue.
Yeah, then it becomes a general issue. Yes.
So, Maharaj, a lack of appreciation of other people, and especially devotees, is that actually indicating a lack of appreciation for Krishna?
At least some aspect of Krishna, because the devotees are part of Krishna, so at least that part you don't appreciate. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that this service to Krishna, what's the specialness of service to Krishna? What's the specialness of surrender to service to Krishna? Like that, that's rare. You know, it's rare. I'll see if I remember. I bring this nice quote from, point from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Like that. It's just the words are nice. So tomorrow, today is what day?
Monday.
Yeah, so tomorrow. Then if I can remember, I'll bring it. So it's just a matter of we have to appreciate what devotee means, because we take it okay. Uttam Adhikari, that's okay, and everybody else is a bit of a schnook, right? But the point is no. If someone is surrendered to Krishna, they're special. Like that. And then within special, there's more special and most special. Does that make sense?
So Madhya Madhikari treats people according to their position and relation to him, but Uttam Adhikari sees everyone equally. So does that mean that Uttam Adhikari also treats everyone equally? Or?
It means, the position is you deal with someone according to the etiquette, according to their position and your position. That's the etiquette. Now, why you're doing that, that makes the distinction between the neophyte, the Madhyam, and Uttama.
Yeah.
That you're doing that, that's called culture. That's called human.
Okay?
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, the neophyte is doing because the benefits they may get from it, or the attachments may have. The Madhyama does it because that's the way it's supposed to be done.
Yeah.
The Uttama does it because everybody's connected to Krishna. They're all Krishna's servants.
But everyone's doing it.
Everybody is, yes.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, universal love is nonsensical because it is not possible to love everybody without loving Krishna. If we love Krishna, universal love is automatically there. Right? In the last verse, right, so in other words, we're dealing with an Achinta-Beta-Veda element here. You know, just as Krishna's Brahman, but he's the person. So the same way the personal and impersonal, this universal form aspect is part of this element. Right? The attractiveness of it is the personal. The mechanics of it is the impersonal. But ultimately, it's still the person who has the desire, therefore it's manifest this way. Right. In the last verses of chapter 1, Sukadev Goswami continues the description of the Virat Rupa. Quote, "The Lord's arms are Indra, king of the demigods. His mouth is the sacrificial fire. The Chanda, hymns of the Veda, are his cerebrum. The ocean of material existence is his glance. The root principle of matter is his consciousness. Rudra is his ego. His face is the Brahmanas. His arms, the Kshatriya. The thighs, the Vaishya. The soles of his feet, the Shudras. The ocean is his waist. And the hills and mountains are the stacks of his bones," etc. One can worship the Lord by seeing all the demigods, and even the hills and mountains of the ocean, the sky, as different parts of the parcels of the gigantic body of the Lord, the Virat Purush. Thus one conceive of the personality of Godhead without being misled by the formless conception of the Lord. Right? You're thinking, you're dealing with that Brahman aspect, but you're not going to be misled by impersonalism. Because you're connecting it back. So all these things, all these different elements have something that's connected. Indra, he protects the universe. You protect things, you manage things with your arms. Right? You know, unless you're Brazilian, then you use your feet. But other than that, then, you know, that, does that make sense? But the point is the arms, they protect, they control. So that's Indra. At the same time, that's the Kshatriya.
Yes.
Right? So it has all these multiple levels. That's why in the Virat Rupa we were discussing this morning, is that the prominent one is given because there's so many that connect. You know, does that make sense? Like in the family, the father is protecting, so then he would be the arms. It was saying, just go, you can take it any length. You know, the mayor's protecting the city. You know, the guys walking around at night with their sticks and that, the vigilante group, they're protecting their neighborhood. So it all has the aspect, right? But these are where the major, you know, full manifestations are, right? So mouth is sacrificial fire because you're feeding the Lord. So then that's where it is. So in other words, feeding him means through sacrifice, not through something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So all these different things. The cerebrum, what he thinks of, the hymns of the Vedas, the chanda, that's what he thinks about. The poetic elements, the very nicely stated position that the Vedas are describing. So there's the name, form, qualities of the pastime said in a very pleasant way. Right? Is his, the ocean of material existence is his glance, because as he sees, that's how it happens. Right? So then we can, all these different things that we see in the world, we can connect back to the Lord. Yes?
So for us, Mahaprabhu is a Yajna Purush, and the process is Sankirtan.
Yes.
So it's like the simplest process
could
ever happen.
Yes. But it doesn't get better than this.
He's the most merciful avatar.
That's why we're here. You know, because it was based on qualifications. How many would get in? You know? Like that. You know, that's the point. So, yes, that's the point. Okay. One should concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone distributes himself in so many manifestations, just as ordinary persons create thousands of manifestations in dreams. Right? So we create all these, so we should be able to see whatever it is that we create in connection with the Lord. Right? And the idea is to come to this point that Prabhu just said. You know, the Harinam Sankirtan is all we require. Right? You know, but we have all these ideas that everything else is so important.
Yes.
Right? Therefore, you know, we're trying to convince ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. One must concentrate the mind on Him, the only all-blissful absolute truth. Otherwise, one will be deceived and will cause his own degradation. So it has to be connected to the Lord. Otherwise, if you don't, then you'll come up with all kinds of these other weird things and end up, you know, somewhere
else.
You'll end up in San Diego. Which is a long way from Jersey.
Any particular reason, San Diego?
That's where the conference is being.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't need to go anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Could have stayed in Jersey. Yeah. To common sense, the description of the universal form may appear to be somewhat contradictory. For example, sometimes the sun has been described as the eyeball and sometimes as the outer space sphere. Right? Because that potency has all that. All those aspects are contained within that. That's the point. Okay. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport to verse 30. But there is no room for common sense in the injunctions of the Shastra. We must accept the description of the Shastras and concentrate more on the form of the Virat Rup than on common sense. Common sense is always imperfect, whereas the description in the Shastras is always perfect and complete. If there is any incongruity, it is due to our imperfection and not the Shastras. That is the method of approaching the Vedic wisdom. If you approach like that, you'll be able to understand. Because the Shastra being Krishna, then to understand Krishna has to be revealed by Krishna himself.
Yes.
So if one understands it, I mean, if one appreciates it in this way, then Krishna will reveal himself. But if one says, no, but, you know, intellectually or logically it doesn't make sense, or this or that, how people are going to accept it, all this kind of stuff, then one will not understand it.
Yes.
Does that make sense? People are already using these things in their day-to-day life. They're already connecting things. Right? Does that make sense? You know. That makes sense? Something's going wrong in the city. Okay, you go in, there's a traffic jam. So they start complaining about the people who manage the city. But how did they make that connection? It's a bunch of cars there, a bunch of idiots in cars, you know, sitting there, and they've all, you know, decided to slow down to gawk at something on the side of the road. But, you know, but they connect that situation to the city council, to the mayor, to the police, to, you know, the government, to the, you know, some conspiracy theory, something like this, you know, this is all being done to work, but break us down, you know, like this. You know, does that make sense?
The lizards are doing it.
So they're already using the concept, but they're not connecting it to the Lord, so therefore it just creates their own degradation. Right? So that's the point, is that it's not a problem. There's nothing in Shastra that's a problem for people. You just have to put it in the context they appreciate. That's all. In his commentary to verse 39, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that we should not take the universal form as the ultimate shelter. Rather, we must take the shelter of the Supersoul. Right? So from there, you must go to the next stage.
Yes.
After this, Srila Sukadeva Goswami describes, okay, now it's Goswami describes, meditation on the universal form, some of the few words are together, on the universal form of the Lord. And then, speaking against that meditation, he describes devotional service. Right? In other words, that's there to take the first step, but the first step is not the goal. There's the second step. Right? Now we'll get to devotional service, and we'll go to the third step, is Bhagavan. Yes.
I was never attracted to this part of Bhagavatam, this Virat Rupa. I mean, it's not a necessary step, is it?
Take our communities. Why aren't people fully engaged? They have a million reasons. Those reasons are what they should be connecting to the universal form, because they see those reasons as actually substantial things that are separate from God consciousness. In other words, there's the material world, the reality, and then there is an option that one can be God conscious. Rather than there's only God conscious, there's only God, there's nothing else. And then within that, one's supposed to find one's place and one's position. So the beginning, the state, that perspective is atheistic. You just say, oh, well, I'm just being practical for Buddha. Where's Krishna in it? That's atheism. Everybody says it, so no one bothers. That's how Vox Populi works. So the point is, instead of looking at self-help books, going out to materialistic psychologists and doing all these things, sitting in chairs in the circle and then criticizing each other and then afterwards saying, oh, wasn't that fabulous, and all these kinds of stuff, then why not use this? Because it directly connects to the Lord. These other ones, still, they're not connecting it to the Lord. I'm being almost open. I'm being honest. But open means what? What does that mean, open? Honest. What does honesty mean? You know what I'm saying? They don't have definitions not connected to the Lord. So therefore, it's materialistic. That's what the universal form's for.
So you're saying it's a necessary...
No, it's not necessary. It's only necessary when we take things that are not necessary and make them necessary. Then it's necessary. But if we understand the only thing necessary is connecting everything to Krishna, then it's not so important. But certain elements are there. Why do you like water? You're thirsty, you drink water. Why do you like it? It's the taste. Right? The quality of the taste is how much you appreciate the water. That's because it's Krishna. You know, so that fresh spring mountain water is because that fuller taste of Krishna is there. You know, the, you know, Los Angeles, you know, what do you call it? Reverse osmosis, you know, totally dead kind of water has less taste, so it's not as attractive because there's less Krishna in it. That's why. That's what's going on. So it's useful as a side thing, not as a main thing. It's a side thing. But the point is when devotees are distracted by side things, it's very useful. If they're not distracted by side elements, that's not important at all. But the point is it's been, since 82, it's been made official that being distracted by side things is important and everybody should leave us alone. No one should criticize. So therefore, then, if they don't use this, then what's the hope? You know, because how often is Hari Nam Day or Hari Nam Week? Hari Nam Week, that's 1 out of 52. Before it was every day was Hari Nam Day. Mm-hmm. And now we have Hari Nam Week, or we have the Hari Nam, what do you call it? The Kirtan Mela, which generally is 3 days, 4 days. And it's in one place. We have it once a year here. Germany has it, what, once a year? Yes. Everybody has it once a year. So then, you know, 3 days, 4 days, everyone's really fine. Good. But in the 70s, 60s, that was every day. So what's taking up the rest of the, you know, 361 days? Okay, take off Janmashtami, take off a couple other days. What's you know, where's all that going? That's why this is useful. And if this was understood and appreciated, there would be less of that distraction. So that's why we started off, is that you have the Varnashram system, you follow that, that engages everybody. Because then you know your duties are coming from the Lord. So it's a very, it's a much more direct way to see everything connected to the Lord. But if there's aspects that you don't, then this is useful. Like that. Is that okay? Yeah. So it's one of those things. But the point is if you can, whatever way you do it, as long as it's authorized, you connect it to the Lord, that's perfect. And if you can do it by the Bhagavan aspect, that's better. But devotees nowadays, you could probably go around the communities and a huge amount are involved in New Age stuff that has no connection with us. And therefore, no connection with Krishna. And where did that New Age come from? It all comes from the Vedas. Western doesn't have an astrological system. Because before, if you knew it, you were burnt at the stake. It came from somewhere else. They picked it up from the Arabs, who picked it up from over here. You know, all these different things they call New Age, all it is Indian stuff. You know, filtered some direct, some through, you know, this and that, you know, some over at Stonehenge. You know, so you have your various trappings. But the point is devotees go for this before they'll go for these things. And it's, what's the difference in technicality? Except for the tone of voice and everything like that. It's all so nice. And then, you know, conceive of the, don't want to be misled by the formless conception of the Lord like that. One should concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone distributes himself in so many manifestations, just as ordinary persons create thousands of manifestations of dreams.
Well, you know. That's very different, actually.
That's the whole thing. Is that, and you do that, and that's what people are attracted. Oh, that sounds so wonderful, because it's got the poetic, it has this. And we have the poetics, just that we're too... We can't appreciate mode of goodness poetics, but you go into mode of passion and ignorance poetics, and bingo. There you go. Know. You know, so that's the thing, is that if devotees weren't doing any of that, they were just, you know, doing their job, coming home, trying to be with the family and be Krishna conscious, go to the temple when they can make it, take part in that, do what they can, and you don't have to worry as much about it. But they're doing a lot out there. And somehow or another, this is just, oh, we don't need that. But this other stuff, how do we need that other jazz? It doesn't make sense. So that's the point. So this is to save us from that. And then having gone to this, then it brings us to the next. That's why it's not the ultimate shelter. But devotees take this New Age stuff as serious shelter. This is how we're going to improve our community, build our relationships, make the family unit strong, make the community strong. And I don't see any communities that are strong, that use that. I don't see any. And ones that use just direct Krishna consciousness, they're very strong and consistent. The other ones, they're talking about it, get together, everyone's inspired, and then you come back 6 months later and find out this one's blooped, this one's divorced, this is run off with that one's wife, and all that. And hey, what happened to all the, you know, sitting around and, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Where have I been?
This is all happening. It's all happening in the name of religion. It's all going on. I mean, I see this stuff. Anybody else sees this stuff? Am I the only one that sees this stuff? You've seen this stuff. You've seen. Okay. Yeah. So it's going on. It's just that, you know, just you have to be observant. Then you see it all going on. If you're not observant, then the point is you can go into whatever is the situation, just take part in the program, get involved in that, side, and you'll miss all of this. And happily miss all of this. Not without a problem. But if you're discussing how to, you know, expand all these things in everybody's life in all situations, then the tendency is one can notice these things.
Yeah, I'd much rather be in a Bhagavatam class than a, you know, New Age group.
Yeah, of course, like that. Plus, you know, there's a good chance the prashad afterwards will be better. Like that.
Much better.
Yeah. Okay, we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jaya
Sambhaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jaya
Jainataya Gaurapandi.